This is the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast. If this is your first time listening to us, welcome. If you have heard from us before, then you are family.
Hey, hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast. We are glad to have you here with us. Hey, my brothers, how are you doing? Doc and DJ, how is it going?
Man, blessed and well, man. Good to see y'all.
All is well.
Family doing good?
Yes.
All right, yes. Good. Well, in today's episode number 44, we're talking about Bronzeville the Musical. And we have the extraordinary playwright, Miss Margaret Mahdi, in the studio.
Yay. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to be chopping it up with her on a number of things. And for those that are listening, we pray that you hear something that's going to change your life or move you closer to your dream. If nothing else, you can pick up something that will inspire you. All right. So we open up with setting the table. And this comes from Rhymefest, American rapper and songwriter. And he says, when I think about a Chicago sound, I think about the Great Migration from the South. Many of Chicago's Black artists are from Mississippi and Arkansas. And with them was brought blues and gospel music. We're setting the table with that quote from Rhymefest, I'm sorry, American rapper, songwriter. All right. Miss Mahdi.
Yes.
You have formed this theater company called the Mahdi Theater Company. And you got a production coming up, a musical production coming up in April 5th at the Studebaker Theater.
Yes.
Performing Arts Center.
Yes.
And we wanted to tap into that a little bit. But before we do, tell us a little bit about your background and what propelled you. I mean, what propelled you to get to this point in life?
Certainly. Well, first, I just want to thank God and Miss Sheila White for connecting me and Mahdi Theater Company with this wonderful platform. Oh. It's an honor to be here. And thank you for considering us to promote and to share our story.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm
we love Miss Sheila White. Yeah. I had to cut you off, but we love her because she has been opening doors for us.
Yes, she's wonderful. You know what? God-spirited woman. And that's what beautiful spirited people do. We help others, you know. Yes. But I been blessed to, at an early years in life, to discover what my talent, my purpose was, or I am to be. Thank God for my parents. Both are living. They introduced me to musical theater by sharing movies like The Wiz and Cabin in the Sky, The Color Purple. I was introduced to Black musical and the film at 5-6 years old, and I thought I was going to be an actress, which I am an actress, but my preferred career is working behind the scenes as that of a producer and a playwright and director. But needless to say, I was blessed to be exposed to the theater world. I went to Ben Vereen acting classes, and I was trained in high school by a prolific director. Her name is Winifred Rasulallah. She was from New York. She moved to Chicago, and I was like her protege. I attended her auditions. I sat on her set. I studied how she directed her cast, and I was a sponge. I was inspired. I learned that show business was incredibly rigorous. And at 15, I took that really in. I valued it. I cherished the experience. And that's when I learned, I said, you know what? Maybe instead of being an actress, I should work behind the scenes, because I saw how the performers, they lit up. And I saw how it was transformative. Well, I went on to college, Northern Illinois University, and I studied education. And I became an educator. But while I was in college, I still delved into performance. I went to the theater program. I was a part of a lot of theater workshops. But my career was that of an educator. So when I graduated, I was a homeroom teacher certified for Chicago Public Schools.
Okay.
But while I was teaching school, I still deviated into the theater world. And at 21, 22 years old, college friends and I produced a very popular musical, The Wiz, but we put our own rendition. It was The Wiz Chicago style.
Okay.
And it was yes, and it was at the Harold Washington Culture Center before Facebook, social media. Uh-huh. We had a line all around that building, 1,000-seater, and filled it out.
Wow.
And I wasn't aware of the business part of the show. Mm-hmm. I was just connected to how entertainment and musical and theater enlightened and cultivated people. Mm-hmm. I was more impressed with the response, mm-hmm, as opposed to structuring the business side, like having the structure of the business, mm-hmm, the blueprint and the money of it. It was like, wow, look at the response that the people felt leaving a show.
Let me ask you something right here.
Sure.
You say you did it at the Harold Washington Culture. Now, is that on the west side or south side of Chicago?
Actually, it's on the south side of Chicago on 47th and King Drive, right in Bronzeville.
Okay.
It sits right on the corner. Yes, okay. It's right on the corner. And it was dedicated to Harold Washington, the mayor of Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
So that venue, when it first opened, right when they dust off the stage, we were the first theater company to have a show premiere there.
So in other words, y'all was like the inaugural show.
It was, and it was such an honorable experience, mm-hmm, a humbling experience. Mm-hmm. But it was in that experience that God showed me this was the life I belong, that this was what I was supposed to do, equal to that of being a teacher. Mm-hmm. But eventually, as of before COVID, I end up resigning from teaching, mm-hmm, because I wanted to give the show and production and the theater company really what it need, mm-hmm, because I didn't want to cheat the experience. Mm-hmm. I know that it's a lot of sacrifices, and I really have accepted that this is my full passion. You know, you go through different stages in life and you graduate. So I was a teacher, and I'm still a teacher in the art of the theater world, mm-hmm, but I really want to give it the attention that it deserves. So I released teaching from the classroom to serve the theater company full time.
Okay. I got a question. So for you know, others that are listening, that yeah, people who don't quite know what their God-given gift is or talent, what was it that God did to let you know that this, because you said it's God-given gift, but how do you know? Because that's a lot of people's question. Like, how do I know this God's telling me to do this?
That is an excellent question. I would like to first say it starts off with self-discovery, studying you. What do you like? Mm-hmm. What makes you feel good? What are you good at? You have to take self-inventory, and that sometimes may take time. Some people realize it at a very early age, and some people don't realize it until many years in life. But I really believe it's taking that time, that inner time with yourself, mm-hmm, and being around people who also can help cultivate it. For example, my mother knew I was obsessed with watching musicals. So mm-hmm, she saw, you may like to go to some acting classes. And that's when I knew this is where I belong. I enjoyed it. So I enjoyed being in that environment.
Felt natural.
It was natural. Mm. So studying who you are and also having a relationship with the creator, mm-hmm, he will reveal it. You have to sit in a space and ask him, why am I here? Mm-hmm. What is the purpose? What am I to contribute to your world, to society? Mm-hmm. So having that conversation and, you know, getting into a space of quietness, it will be revealed because we all have a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. Because like you said, that purpose is what drives you sometimes to get out of bed in the morning when you don't feel like it.
Absolutely.
Because you know it's something that you are called to do that's greater than yourself, that's going to impact other people's lives.
Yes.
And he's using you, mm-hmm, to bring that connection to them.
Yes.
To bring them up from wherever they're from.
Absolutely.
And brighten their day. So yes, purpose is huge in driving where you're going.
Absolutely. It's being called. It's mm-hmm, it's being like commissioned.
Yes.
You know, and not being afraid of the calling. And it's like taking radical risk, mm-hmm. being incredibly courageous, and like you say, listening to that calling, because mm-hmm. it will propel you to, like, you got to get up and attack it mm-hmm. and do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Margaret Motti. But before we do that, we want you to take a look at this trailer of Bronzeville, the musical.
To interview the migration, we have John, family members, Marquise, great aunt, in-law.
Six, seven, eight.
It's big. It's one of the songs that we want the audience to leave singing. Every musical has a hook song. Our musical, what we discovered, no one had a song that they remember. We fought, our ancestors fought just to be in this city. What we have to do as actors and performers, we gotta bring in the history. We have to make sure we tell the truth through our expression and these words that are written.
This podcast is brought to you by Silver Cup Investments.
All right, we're back on the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast with the lovely Margaret Motti of the Motti Theater Company. And we were just sharing, she was just sharing with us about her background and what propelled her to this. But we're going to talk about, because she mentioned about going to different schools for training.
Yes.
And we just want to go a little bit deeper in there. What was some of the classes or some of the trainings specifically
sure.
that you were involved in that really gave you confirmation that this is what you want to do?
Yes. Well, my mother introducing me at a young age to acting classes, a couple at the Park District, local mm-hmm. Park District, and also I took a serious acting class at the Ben Vereen Acting School. While I was in college, I went to theater programs, mm-hmm. theater workshops, because I started to tap in and discover and accept, okay, this is the space I belong in. Mm-hmm. And as I evolved, I started to recruit mentors, directors, who I would attend a play, exchange information, and ask, can I come to your rehearsal? Can I sit in your space to learn from you? Mm-hmm. So taking the active initiative is how I was able to develop, and I'm still developing, the craft of that of a playwright and director. So taking classes, and also even now studying a lot on YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, studying the masters who are on Broadway and who are great storytellers, and listening to their narrative is also part of my classroom as a playwright.
Yes. It's funny you mentioned stories, because even Martin Scorsese, you know, the director that's done made a lot of movies.
Yes.
A lot of, it's, he said, tell your story.
Yes.
And see, those stories is what make the movies, the plays, the books, and everybody have their own version of it.
Absolutely. Everyone has a story to tell.
Yes.
Everyone has a story to tell.
And so that's awesome, because see, like you said, that takes that connection you said with the creator, yes. to bring that out of you.
Yes. And he'll put us in places so that it can be cultivated. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be in a circle of people who are doing what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And it will strengthen the gift that he gave you. So, and also raw experience, you know, mm-hmm. being in the life of it is also layers with that strengthens that gift.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. like you said, being surrounded with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
For those of y'all that's listening to mm-hmm. the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast, one of the things that you got to always keep in mind mm. is being around like-minded people.
Yes.
That's the key, because if you're going west and then everybody else is going east mm. and they're going the opposite direction, guess what? It's causing a conflict in your direction where you're going. And just because everybody's in a big group going that way mm. doesn't mean that's the way God wants you to go.
Yes. Right.
That don't mean that's the way, because see, most people who have created and done great things in this world, in this space or whatever, especially in the arts, have been what Bishop T.D. Jakes referred to as disruptive thinkers. Those that think outside the box. Those that think in other areas that most people dare not go into. For what? Maybe fear of the unknown. Maybe they don't just have enough confidence in themselves that they can do it. But and then sometimes they just feel like it's just not where they want to go because they don't feel comfortable.
And it's hard to be in agreement with someone that's not like-minded. And I know that's key. I know there's a verse, and Doc, you know I always got to pull on you. Lest they agree. I don't know the beginning part, but it's something about
the scripture
being in agreement.
And saying, unless they, how two can walk together unless they agree.
So it's going to be separation, right?
That's it.
It's
the book of Amos. Yes.
Come on, Doc. Thank you. I got my help, man.
Exactly. Being like-minded, because like I said, that's very important. So let's delve into the theater a little bit, because see, now that you've been around several theaters in several areas and cities around the United States, and I believe maybe around the world,
prayerfully, that's the next step. International.
Okay. International.
Yes.
Is it some theaters better than others?
Yes,
for whatever reason.
I think every theater has their own unique culture and their way and their style, depending upon their vision, their norms, their goals. Because art is different, it's very unique, it's diverse. But I will say there are theater groups and people that I admire that reflect my personal practices. And I like to anchor myself after people or directors or theater companies that believe in structure theater, such as making sure the principles are present, such as building the confidence, integrity, having character. You may be a beautiful actress, beautiful vocalist, but if areas are not fully strengthened, you're just another voice. So I'm into the philosophy of training. It's a training ground. Before we get into the script, I like to call this beyond the script, like where we discuss self-concept, esteem, because believe it or not, a lot of these great talented people suffer with a lot of self-esteem issues and lack confidence. And that is probably one of the reasons why we gravitate to the stage, because we're looking for the validation. So a lot of times amongst us as a people, Black people particularly, in the theater world, a lot of other unresolved issues manifest, trauma issues manifest. So the director is not only just dealing with the script, but it's like a psychology session where I have to pull actors to the side and get to their pain. So that we can end up going into the script. So 75% of it is psychology, and then 25% is the acting. I mean, really, is. But in the other world, the commercial world, they get straight to it because this their system. But our structure of Black people, because of the post-traumatic slave issues and whatnot, dysfunctional home life, we dealing with other issues. So it's very difficult for directors, if we're really approaching the soul of the actor. You know, I'm not just recruiting for the dollar. You know, I find producers and directors, they're only looking for the money. The money will come, but it's about, are you nurturing the soul of that talent? And that's why I feel like it's more purpose-driven for me. So it's a school in itself, developing that.
You're changing lives.
Yes. Glory be to God.
Not just making performers, you are changing lives. Because anytime you can take the time out to deal with trauma that a person has ingrained in them since their youth, and you're able to sort that out in order for them to go to the next level in life, that's a ministry.
You know what? It is a ministry. I'll say there was a show that I worked on before, a talented actress. Incredible. I mean, she could take a script and do all kinds of things, but her behavior wasn't matching the professionalism. So we had to have a conversation to get to the root. I said, you're very difficult to work with. You're so talented, but these issues are manifesting in the theater, in the space where you're making people uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But with that conversation, all it, because I wasn't going to spend all day with it, mm-hmm. but we acknowledged that there was other issues going on. She had a breakdown. She got emotional. She was humble enough to agree that she was causing conflict mm-hmm. because we was going to release her from the project. But to your point, it is beyond the script, mm-hmm. getting into those other issues. And I would like to say, too, I would like to set up a training base, because I do feel now, because there's money involved and time, you mm-hmm. want to focus on the script, because you have a show that has to be produced mm-hmm. at a
right.
deadline.
That's right.
So dealing with all the babysitting issues is like, okay. But what we do need is to set up a structure or a school to focus on issues beyond the script. Self-esteem, self-concept, how to overcome your fears, trusting that God gave you a talent and you don't have to get the validation. There are a lot of people that's broken, talented people that are broken. Yeah.
Mm. There's companies outside of the arts that could benefit from what you just said, because yeah. you're creating a good work environment.
It has to be a good work environment. Mm. And also, directors are broken. Mm. I've seen directors real harsh to their cast, such as throwing scripts and cussing and beating down. Mm. That's not the way you get a story across, you know, because we are the leaders and we have to advocate for peace and work ethic and what is right. Mm-hmm. It's beyond the story,
yeah.
but we're teachers, you know, so if you bruise a person, then that's a price you pay for that.
And it could be actually in the production once it opens.
Yes.
Because that motion carries over
yes,
into the opening night.
Yes, it does.
And like you said, if a person already struggling, and then you come and beat them up some more, and then you finally get, okay, you got them to sing right, you got them to maybe say their lines right, but then the spirit that's transcended
is broken
when it comes out on the stage.
Correct. Absolutely. And we will be held accountable and responsible for creating a mental issue mm-hmm. with someone else. Because when I look at it like this, when people come into our space, we have to remember it's delicate. Mm-hmm. We're not anybody God, and God is merciful to us. He's mm-hmm. very compassionate and he's patient. Mm-hmm. We too have an obligation to do the same. We're teachers. Mm-hmm. The story will come across. And if it's just not working out, you release them with grace. You know, and you sit down and you explain, you know, you're having some challenges. Maybe we can refer you to an acting coach. But right now, you know, there's there's some discrepancies here. But there's always a way you do a thing. And we have to practice that more so amongst us as a people. We're very hard towards each other. But I've been on a set where if a white person come into my space, it's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. You know, we're yes. so hard with each other, yeah. you know. Mm-hmm. That's a psychological thing.
That is. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's like another ethnic group can come in and say the same thing, and yeah. all of a sudden it sounds better.
Oh, it sounds better.
Right?
Yeah. And I've been saying it, and it's like, well, you know, we don't really. But yeah, but it's certainly a ministry, and the love has to be present. Mm-hmm. The love is what fuels it. And I love what I do, and I love the people that come into the space. I really care about who they are and their souls, mm-hmm. and I don't want to take them for granted.
No, exactly. Well, I tell you what, we're going to take another quick break here, and then we're going to be back, and now we're going to talk about the story of the musical when we come back.
So would you sing something for us?
I guess you've wondered where I've been.
Oh, okay.
I've searched to find the love in it. Oh, okay. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let it go. Cause my friends wonder what is wrong with me.
Okay.
Cause I'm in the days from your love, you see. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let it go. So
I like her reaction.
That is awesome. That is awesome. Margaret, is he gonna be in the musical?
Oh, he's one of the leads. That's Zion Ali, and this is his first musical, and he is doing a remarkable job because, again, he's in his passion and his purpose. Mm-hmm. He wants to be a star.
Awesome.
You know, he wants to be a star, and he's a beautiful spirited person. He takes direction well. He's from Kankakee.
Oh.
And he's really nursing the experience. He wants to grow. He's asking questions, but he has the right mindset.
I tell you what.
He's a right
if
mindset.
If they ever made a movie about Al Jarreau, he's got the part.
Because
he got some similar features to him, too.
Uh-huh. Well, I tell you what, you mentioned Kankakee. Let everybody know, you've got some roots here in Joliet, Illinois here.
Absolutely. I was born in Joliet, and my parents, my family, I have four brothers, mm-hmm. and we lived in Joliet in my early years, and we moved to Hyde Park. But yes, I was born in Joliet and raised in my younger years. So yes, and my father's family up until maybe before COVID just moved from Joliet. So my grandmother lived out here. My father's mother never met her, but she was out here for many, many years. My cousins. So Joliet is home.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Joliet. Yes. Well, I tell you what, tell us about the story of the musical.
Yes. Well, thank you. Well, Bronzeville. Yes. Bronzeville is a rich history. This was an area where when blacks migrated from the South, they migrated to a secular community. And it was called, I believe, like the Black Metropolis or Black Bottom. But it was just like the ghetto. And then eventually it was formed Bronzeville, reflecting of the people's complexion. Okay, that's how Bronzeville. Mm-hmm. And in that community, black people who were mostly from the South, they migrated and developed their thinking, literacy. Giants were produced from that community. Entrepreneurship, businesses were built. It was a community that was thriving. And even today, it still thrives. It's right on the south side of Chicago. But this was the area where when blacks were not allowed to enter in other spaces in Chicago. So this is why when we say, well, slavery or sharecropping and that negative, violent energy was only in the South. No, it was also here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very racist city. And this is why those race riots catapulted all throughout the northern centers, because you leave the South, you come up to the North, you're still fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why this play is so significant, because we want to particularly show young people, why are we fighting and killing each other when our ancestors had to fight just to be in this city? This is a city that you should represent with respect and dignity, because you're fortunate by standing on someone else's shoulder. If they were to look at what we are doing, they would turn over in their grave. And then one young person says, what ancestor? What is that? So they're not being educated properly in school or even in the home, because there's a disconnect from our history. Mm-hmm. Many of them don't even know what the Great Migration is or was.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know that we are where our roots from. You say, where are you from? Someone will say, well, we're from Alabama, but our history and legacy and lineage tie all the way back from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And in this play, we go to the beginning, which is Mali,
okay,
a city in Timbuktu. So we have to trace the roots before we even get to the migration. But it is a story about a family's love. It's really about a father and his son. And the father is on a road of redemption. He's been away from his life for 10 years. He served some time in jail. And he sees that his son is going crazy in Chicago. So the father's taking an active role in his son's life by teaching him his history. And teaching the son, Marquise, his history is where Marquise goes on this transformative journey. Mm-hmm. So it's a play that is very live, it's hip, it honors the significance of our history and the importance in preserving our community. That's our job as playwrights.
Mm-hmm.
We have to write our story, not just for the benefit of that dollar, but we got to write the story to educate and to transform lives. It's like you said, it's a ministry, but it's a mission.
Mm-hmm.
That's our job. Because we have all these issues. How else do you tackle it? You could tackle a story on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of tackling it. If you open up a youth center, that's one way of tackling it. If you have a girls and boys club, there's so many ways. But use your gifts and talents to create a rise in the consciousness of the people. That's the goal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I tell you what. I heard in one of Pastor John Hanna's sermons, which is a pastor out of Chicago, and he said, exposure creates expectation. Mm. So by exposing them to that rich history, that for those that don't know the ancestors and all those different things, well, once you see what they went through, then it creates an expectation in them, something for them to shoot for. Mm-hmm. And like you say, you're using the arts to create that, mm-hmm. and touch their lives. And everyone who comes and see this production, I tell you, you're doing a great work.
Listen. Praise God.
You're doing
thank
a great
you.
Work because, like you said, we need more playwrights like you, mm-hmm. not just chasing the dollar, because if you help enough people get what they want or even what they need, you'll get what you want. You'll automatically get it. And guess what? By helping enough people, the money will come anyway.
Yes.
The money will come. So not making that the priority.
No.
It's making the mission the priority.
Yes.
And the money will come.
Yeah. Because, you know, when you put that before the mission, the experience becomes tainted. It becomes dull. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're walking zombies. And then this is where the vibration is off. Mm-hmm. Again, are we honoring and obeying the calling that God put over our lives? Mm-hmm. Now you're getting into another area. It's about obedience. So now, because it becomes bigger than you. Mm-hmm. So where I'm at now in my life, I am making sure that my inner narrative is in alignment with what God wants, getting back on track and making sure with striving, because mm-hmm. we're not perfect, but striving to say, is he pleased mm-hmm. with what I'm doing, with executing my purpose? Mm-hmm. Is this the way that I am to do it? Studying the scripture, mm-hmm. being in alignment with other people of faith. Mm-hmm. And again, in our theater space, we have all people of walks of life, mm-hmm. but setting that example, being that example is also inspiring. But yeah, it's so beyond the glitz and glamour. That's part of it because mm-hmm. it's show, right. you know, mm-hmm. it comes with
it's
it.
Entertainment.
It's entertainment. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. But in that, it's such a greater calling. So yes. it's a blessing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we're going to come back and have one more behind the scenes of Bronzeville, the musical. And then after that, we'll take a break. And then we'll be right back on the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast. DJ and Doc podcast. All right. Check it out. On this segment right here, we're talking about dreams because it had to start with a dream. Even yes. though you was inspired or something, you had to see something or a vision or something. Yeah. Can you tuck us down just a few steps of how you made that dream a reality? Some of the steps that getting it out of your mind and getting it on paper and actually getting it into the theater.
Wow. Such a wonderful question. It's a daily reflective question. How do you make the dream come to life? Well, it starts first with the communication with God and communicating with him, talking to him, listening to what he places in our hearts to do and being obedient to that. Because if he gave you the dream, he gave it to you to manifest it because it came from him. So I realized that from this production and all the other productions that I've been blessed to do with the Mahdi Theater Company came from inspiration from him and overcoming the naysayers or the fear or that. It's just like radical courage. So trusting him and trusting yourself and knowing that your dream is not too big or too little. You can do it. And being around, again, people who are doing their dreams. I admire Denzel's and Viola Davis, all these people who come from similar walks of life. If they can do it, you can too, but it requires some work. It just doesn't happen, like abracadabra. You have to work it. When we work it, it works. It works. When we mm-hmm. work the dream, it works. Mm-hmm. But he did make a mistake when he gave it to us. Everyone has a dream. And again, going back to the earlier question, how do you know if what's your dream is your purpose? Self-discovery, spending time with yourself. What do you like to do? Mm-hmm. You know, because he's going to tell you. No one is on this earth I don't know, unless we're ignoring something. Mm-hmm. Taking that first step and being in a space of solitude. Why am I here? Show me. He'll show us. You know, but making a dream work, communicating with God, saying that prayer, and he places on your heart, it's meant for it to be done. And because I'm in what I love to do is why it's manifesting, because I love it, yeah. Even with the hardship. This production is incredibly expensive, and this might be to inspire whoever. We don't have nowhere near the cost of the money of this project, and it's next month. Mm-hmm. That's the reality of this. Mm-hmm. I'm stepping out on faith when I say this. I'm putting it out there. This is a costly, because some people bailed out of mm-hmm. our investors and some people chose not to respond. But what do? You still keep going. Mm-hmm. So now I'm testing my faith. I'm like, all right, God, you gave this, so what do we do? And some say, oh, well, that's just so you're not being realistic. There is no such thing. Being realistic is being in the real of the moment. Real time is realistic. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see it be done. And then when he show up and show out, then those who were the naysayers are like, oh, wow. I was told years ago when mm-hmm. we sold out the Harold Washington Culture Center, it's a 1,000-seater, mm-hmm. I was told by several prominent business owners in Bronzeville, you can't do that. That's impossible. Who's going to come and see a show? 1,000-seat. Mind you, that was close to 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was standing room only. Wow. And that business partner or business person, I promise you to God, came to me weeks after the show and said, I must apologize to you. Because I didn't believe it could happen. He said, I've never sold out anything of 1,000, and I own a business. He said, mm-hmm. so I didn't think little Margaret could do that. But that was God. He yeah. used me to show the naysayers, yeah. I'm with you. All we have to say is he's with us. You have to feel it. You have to have that conviction. He's with you. Just say, God, walk with me. Show me who I need to ask. Lead me in the right direction. He will. He wants us to win. You have to say that. And all your success comes from him. It all comes from him. So I say that to the cast and crew. You all don't get, if somebody say no and deny the proposal, we need a lot of money. But we're going to keep saying he's mm-hmm. with us. Mm-hmm. We've made it this far. Mm-hmm. We're in the building. Mm-hmm. We have the facility and everything else will fall in place.
That's right.
Case in point, our technical director, Father, just passed yesterday morning. He's an intricate part of this project because you have to have a technical director for the show to run successfully. His father is in Nigeria. Oh. Well, hey, the show goes on. Yeah. When they say the show goes on, it literally goes on. Mm-hmm. God will resolve that. We just do our part. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Wow. Those are some incredible tidbits right there.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I had something I wanted to say, but it was taking it all in. I lost it.
You lost it, huh?
I lost it.
All right. You like Teddy Pendergrass. Sorry, I lost it, huh?
Yeah, my apologies. But but I do want to, like I say, we want to encourage, just as you said, and we know you're already encouraged. But it is going to happen. God is going to make sure it's going to happen. And where you're talking, it had me think about the part of it, when Tyler Perry's documentary, mm-hmm. when he was talking about how he was about to give up. They were about to do a show. Mm-hmm. He was in the dressing room and talking to God, and it was like, this is it. And then the Holy Spirit told him, look out the window. Mm-hmm. And then there was a line of people waiting to get in, and it was cold outside, mm-hmm. you know? So it's going to happen.
But he was obedient.
There you go.
We have to trust. It really boils down to the relationship with the Creator. You have to be obedient. It doesn't, because we get in our own way mm-hmm. because of the fear, mm-hmm. the negativity probably from childhood, somebody telling you couldn't do it, or little old me, I'm from the projects, I'm Black, I'm from Chicago, whatever it is. We are in our own way. So that radical self-affirmation, I can do it. He wants me to win. I am His. He wants me to win. All success comes from Him. He wants His people to win mm-hmm. because He gave us the dream. So we can win.
That's right. Doc Ed wants us to win, yeah. Doc.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's it.
Uh-huh. All right, check it out. We're going to... Come on, DJ, give us On the Corner with DJ Coolstone. Oh. Let me cue up the music.
Okay. Hey, what's up, y'all? It's your brother in the footwork, DJ Cornerstone, and you are listening to the Mike, DJ, and Doc Show. Yes, indeed. What's up, good people? Hey, we got a lot going on in the footwork world, man, so I need y'all to actually get some pens and papers going on and write this stuff down. So, just a reminder, every Tuesday night from 7 to 9 p.m., our dear sister, DJ Qnique, has the Qnection radio show where she plays Chicago footwork, house, juke, and Jersey club music on Chicago 77.3 FM radio station. We also got our dear brother, John Boudilla King from the South Side, has an event coming up called Crowned. It's happening in August, so Footwork Appreciation Month, where it's actually a Chicago Footwork World Championship. The folks from out overseas is coming. It's going to be big, y'all, so get ready for that. More details to come. March 17th, XOXO Reaction Entertainment presents Footwork on St. Patrick's Day. That'll be held at the Steadfast Dance Center at 1860 South Blue Island, Suite 303. And we have the Footwork Lab Practice every Thursday. My brother J-Rock with his crew, Most Wanted, is going to be from 9:45 p.m. until at Healthy Hood, Chicago on 2242 South Damon Avenue in Chicago, Illinois. And my dear brother, my homeboy, Gold Rat, just released a song, man, called Better This Way. It is now on Bandcamp, and it's a club hit. So y'all check it out. Y'all be blessed.
All right. Thank you. Thank you there. Cool. We'll go ahead with There It Is from our very own Dr. William Sullivan Sr.
Doc.
Hey, today as we get ready to wrap up the show, Joel 2:28, word from the Lord. It's a promise from God. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. And today we really pulled out dreams. Mm. And where the older generation is dreaming dreams, there has to be a younger generation that is able to glean from these dreams and manifest it. There has to be a next generation. It says the old men will dream dreams and the young men will see visions. So there has to be that next generation to continue to see something, because vision gives a person life. Mm. So the older generation dreamed it. Dr. King, I had a dream, and I can continue to go on in that area. And many of our ancestors dream what we as a new generation of younger men and women have visions. And vision gives us life, something to live for. Something to go after. Mm. You know, it's not just eyesight, it's divine insight into the purpose and plans of God for what God has for me. Mm. For my gifts and talents will have a platform and a place to manifest. And then wherever there's vision and glory to God, and it's being activated and walked in, God will always provide provision. Mm. And that's the process. And we have to learn to trust God through faith.
Yes.
And exercise trust in him for the provision. Mm. When we as a generation are walking in and living out the vision, because the vision gives us something to live for. Mm. The Bible say, where there is no vision, the people perish. That's to give up. That's to lose hope. Mm. That's to let go. That's to say, why even try? But because our older generation had dreams, my. Glory to God. They seen this thing that would manifest and unfold. And now we are a new generation that has vision. God provides our provision. We just must continue to walk by faith. And the just shall live by faith. And there it is.
All right.
Peace and love.
Yeah. Thank you,
Dr. You're welcome. God bless you all. Thank you.
All right. Margaret.
Yes.
Can you let our family know where they can see the musical, when it's coming out, the date, theaters, and all that
Absolutely.
Stuff, and where they can get tickets?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, friends and family. And it has been an honor to be able to share our narrative, our purpose, and the why for Bronzeville, the musical, Broadway-bound, tour-ready. It will be at the Studebaker Theater, located 410 South Michigan Avenue. The Studebaker Theater, and everyone can purchase tickets at the fineartsbuilding.com. You may purchase tickets at fineartsbuilding.com, fineartsbuilding.com, or you can go on our website, mahditheater.com, mahditheater.com. And again, the show opens April 5th through the 14th. Bronzeville, the musical at the Studebaker Theater.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for being on the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast. And we wish you much success. And hey, family, those are listening, go out and support.
Yes, indeed.
Go out and support this musical, because she's not just putting on an entertainment, but she's changing people's lives. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't want to be a part of that?
That's
changing
right.
somebody's life. So go out and support.
Thank
Absolutely.
You. Thank you so much. God bless your platform, your ministry, all of you.
Sure.
It was an honor to be here, and we will share tickets with you all. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
Thank
yes.
you.
We'll have tickets for you and your guests.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you,
appreciate
thank that. You so much. We appreciate awesome. It. Mm-hmm. Y'all put yeah. your hands together for Margaret Mahdi. Thank you so much. And that will do it for the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast. Until next time. Peace. Thank you for listening to the Mike, DJ, and Doc podcast. If you have any questions for the show, go to MikeDJAndDoc.com. And we want to leave you with this. Matthew 25 and 40 out of the Good News Translation. The king will reply, I tell you, whenever you did this for one of the least important of these followers of mine, you did it for me. So we want to leave you with the question, am I helping at least one person? Thank you for listening.